Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Father, I want to thank you that as we get into the Word this evening, that our hearts would just be touched by your grace and your goodness and your love and your truth, and that every single one of us is going to walk away with something that's just, you know, impacted us in our hearts, done something just to transform. Thank you that that's what your love always does, it transforms. And we just open up right now to receive from you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning, I started sharing on, what did I call it? I don't know what I called it, but I started sharing on a good message. And, you know, I kind of felt during the day that I'm not going to repeat the message, but I'm going to build on it. So if you missed out, I want to encourage you to get the teaching this week online, and you guys get part two. But I will lay a bit of a foundation just so that you don't feel like you're missing out. So don't worry about that. But turn with me to firstly Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, I started off this morning by asking, what do you need? And I think, you know, that's the heart of this message is, what do you need? Okay, what are you needing from the Lord right now? Are you needing healing? Are you needing provision? You know, do you need more joy in your life? Do you need more peace? Do you need some patience, some self-control? Are you needing some freedom? What do you need from God right now? What are you asking God for? If God was standing right before you right now saying, hey, what do you want now? What can I give you? What would your list be? Okay? What are you trusting God for? What do you need? Okay, what I'm wanting to share with you, it will really impact you. I believe in your relationship with the Lord with regard to this question and the answer of it. Okay? Because the try not to jump into it too quickly, but the problem is that most of us start answering this question in a deficit. I mean, you answer the question with whatever you want and you're in a deficit already. You're saying, I don't have this, this is what I would like. So you're starting from a negative place, trying to get into a positive place when, you know, that's not the gospel. Okay, so, you know, I wanted to refer to the song that we were singing previously, the last song. It's really an awesome song, but I know for sure that some of you might be singing it wrong. It's not your voice. It's your interpretation of the lyrics. Okay, we're very fussy and sticky when it comes to the lyrics of our songs. What do we sing? And that song isn't there because we're wanting God to give us something more. That song is there because we're wanting to know His love more. It's fill me with the fullness of His love. Not fill me with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You've got the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's not fill me with more blessings and more favor and I want something else from God. This is purely fill me with the fullness of your love. Okay, and it comes directly out of Ephesians chapter 1. So I want to read to you from verse 17, or verse 16, Paul's praying for the Ephesians, for the believers, and he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So he's praying that that God would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He's not praying for the Ephesians to have something more. He's praying that they would have an understanding of what they've already got. So, you know, the question, what do you need, is a trick question, really. But the answer to that will reveal where you are right now in your understanding of of God, who He is, and your relationship with Him. Okay? Because Paul's not praying, you know, if you were going to pen a prayer for believers, and it's going to be read, you know, in thousands of years down the line, you know, what would you pray? Pray for revival, pray for whatever. But what is Paul praying? He's indirectly, or he is directly actually praying for revival. But what is he saying? Revival comes by asking God for a revelation of who you are and what you've got. For getting a revelation of Jesus. Okay, verse 19. Oh, let's read verse 18 again. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, talking about a revelation, that you may know what is the hope, this is verse 18, the hope of his calling, and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. So he's praying that we would have an understanding and a revelation of what we've got, not that God would give us something new. This is very different to what most people believe. Maybe not you, but most people. Okay? He's praying that we would understand what we've got, not that we would get something more. Okay, so you know, the only problem in your life is not the lack that you see, it's what you don't know. The problem that you have isn't the lack that you are feeling, isn't the pain that you're feeling in your body. Your problem isn't the fact that you've got a doctor's report which says you've got an incurable disease, or the bank balance is really bad, or that you've got relational issues or whatever, because you've got the answer for all of those things inside of you. If you've got Jesus, you've got the answer. Okay? But you know, to explain it maybe in a few more words, look with me at 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. And it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. So this is really saying that you've got everything. Not some things, all things. What lack do you have? What do you need? What are you trusting the Lord for? Can you see how your answer to that question contradicts Scripture probably? It's the truth. According as his divine power has given unto us, past tense, has given, past tense, unto us, all things, not just some things, all things that pertain to life, the practical, you've got what you need, and godliness, the spiritual, you've got what you need. How do you experience that? How do you experience the provision of what God's given you spiritually and physically? Through the knowledge of him that called us. The more you know God, the more you know his nature, the more you know him, it's easier to receive from him. It's easier to see the manifestation of what you need. So it's not a case of you're lacking anything. You're power-packed and fully loaded. You know why you're perishing? Hosea 4:6. We're going to look at it now. Hosea 4:6. You're not perishing because you are lacking something. You're not perishing because the devil's so big and bad. You're not perishing because of a curse on your life. You're not perishing because of anything except Hosea 4:6. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Okay? My people perish because the devil's strong and he's powerful and he's got a very good game plan of how to take over the world. My people perish because it's the end times. My people perish because, no, lack of knowledge. What you don't know is killing you. Literally. You're sitting there looking at this is part of the problem. You're sitting there looking at the lack saying, but you don't understand what I don't have. I'm looking in my hands and I don't have what I need. I've got a sickness. I can feel it. How can you tell me I don't have it? I can feel it in my body. Well, I'm so glad that you asked the question. You three guys can come up this time. I can see you're already in order of height, which is great. Come stand right over here for me. So you stand here, you go to that side, and you go on the other side. Yanu, you can swap. Demoted. Okay, so Bible shows us that we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. Okay, I explained this morning, so I'm going to go a little bit more quicker through this, but let's say this is your spirit, man. Spirit. This is the part of you. I mean, 2 Corinthians 5:17 shows you that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So now, this is Yanu. Yanu is made up of a spirit, a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your intellect, and this is his body. We all see this, okay? His wife knows the real him. Okay, but Yanu isn't just what you see. He's got feelings. He's got feelings too. And he's a spiritual being. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. Okay? So, you know how we can know that to be true? Yeah, if we cut Yanu's arms and legs off, he's still Yanu. Amen? If he can't talk anymore, he's still Yanu. If he goes Michael Jackson and changes his skin color, he's still Yanu. He could even want to change his sex and have a sex change. He's still Yanu. In his core, he's still the same individual. He can't change who he is. That this is who he is. Many of you have experienced change inside. And what was it? It was over here. I'm not condoning that stuff. I'm just saying that, you know. So this is your emotions. I've been depressed and I've changed that. I'm not depressed anymore. So you can change this. The only way to change your spirit is by being born again. Okay? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. The old sinful nature is gone. The new righteous nature has come. You're no longer a sinner. You're now a saint. You're righteous. Okay? But you still think like you did when you were an unbeliever. You still act like you did when you were an unbeliever. Because you're living in this realm, you're not living in this realm. You're living in the physical and the emotional, you're not living in the spiritual. Okay? And the Christian life isn't about trying to get something, it's about realizing what you've already got in the spirit. You've got everything you need for life and for godliness. You need to realize that in your mind, and then you start to experience it in the physical and in your emotions. This is really connected more than this is for most of us. Okay? So the problem is you need to get your mind in more in tune with what's happening in the spirit. Okay? So Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You want change in your life? You don't need me to pray for you. You need change in your life? You don't need to break something off of you and go through spiritual house cleaning or something. What you need is to be born again firstly. And then you need to realize what you've got in the spirit. So it's a mind renewal. And the more you realize what you've got in the spirit, the more you'll experience it. The problem is like I said, you're looking in your hands and you're going, but you don't know what I'm feeling. I'm feeling sick. I'm feeling pain. I see lack. I feel emotionally depressed. Yes, I agree with you. 100%. But you're living in the soulish and the physical realm. You're living in the realm of your senses. The senses cannot discern the spirit. Spirit discerns spirit. Jesus said that you know, the way to know the spirit is the word. He said, this is spirit. So what you need to do is you open the word, you look in the word, and then you start to see what's true about you in the mirror of the word. It changes your way of thinking. And you start to experience the flow from the spirit into the emotional and into the physical. Okay, so that's it in a nutshell. Just to show you, this is all one, but this is the real part of you. You might think contrary because your sinful nature that was there and isn't any longer trained your mind on how to think. Now you've got to retrain your mind on how to think according to the spirit, according to the word. Okay, and then you'll start to live it out. Thanks, guys. You can sit. The point is Galatians 5, 22 shows us the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And it says it's a fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Many of you might be reaching out trying to get the fruit of the Spirit. I want to have more love. I want to have more patience. I want to have more joy or self-control or whatever. You don't need it because it's a natural byproduct. It's a fruit of the Spirit, which means it's inside of you. It's in your spirit. So now you experience that by acknowledging that you've got that, and then you start to see a divine flow. Acknowledging what you've got in Christ actually is what releases it into your life. Okay? We jumped into all that pretty quickly, so it's a good, because then we can go further. Okay? Philemon 6. If you can put that up, let's just jump there straight away. Philemon, chapter 6. Says. There's only one chapter, so that's why it's verse 6. It says, the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So Paul's praying and he says that the communication of your faith may become effectual. He's praying that our faith would begin to work. All of us want to see our faith begin to work, to accomplish something, to get results, okay? And he shows us how that faith begins to work. The communication of your faith becomes effectual. Your faith begins to work by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in the Spirit. Okay, so now how do you start to see the manifestation of what's in your spirit? How do you start to see the manifestation of what's in the spirit is by starting to acknowledge what he's put inside of you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. Okay, so now you're not judging yourself according to the old man, you're judging yourself according to what God says about you. Okay, now before we get onto that, because it's vital how you see yourself, that's what we're talking about. You've got to stop seeing yourself as a someone who lacks something. Too many Christians see themselves as someone who lacks, not someone who has. And so, you know, if you're looking at yourself as someone who lacks, you're saying, I need more patience in my life. Might be true, but you've got patience, you're just not using it. You might be looking at yourself and saying, you know what, I don't have enough self-control, I'm not living like I should. It might be true, but that's not the problem. The problem is, you don't know who you are and what you've got. Okay? It's the same thing if I was to take, you gave me this water and it's my water now. And I'm just like, I wish I really had some water. This is a brilliant example. I've never used this one. I really wish I had some water. And you even open it and it's there. I really wish I had some water. I'm so thirsty. Imagine I died now of dehydration. Perfect example. I'm going to use this always. Yeah, it's like the answer's right here. It belongs to me. It's got my name on it. I can write my name on it. It's ready to go. I'm dying of dehydration because I'm not using what I've got. That's how many Christians are. They perish because they don't know that it's theirs. You know, if you're looking at it in a deficit, and in the negative, what you're doing is you're saying, God, please move in my life. What are you doing? First of all, you're blaming God for your bad life. He's not the problem. The devil, circumstances, environment, your choices, there's many reasons why it could be bad, but it's not God. He's the answer, not the problem. He wants to help you. He's not the one who causes you to need his help. That's twisted. He doesn't do that. Okay, so you're in a situation and you're like, God, please help me. You know what you're saying is like, God, you haven't done anything. I know you can do anything, but you haven't done anything. That's how many Christians look at it. God hasn't done anything, but he can do anything. God, please send revival. God, you haven't done anything. Please do something. God, please heal me. You haven't done anything. Please do something. Both those things. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're jumping around to a couple different topics within this topic. But just to show you that he's already moved. God isn't stuck. He's moved. Now we need to move to be able to see the flow. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. God moved. Now it's up to us. He's not withholding revival. He's not the one who's saying South Africa should suffer a little more. He's not the one saying, you know, let's just wait a little bit so people really need me. He's not doing anything like that. He's given us the answer to see change. It's up to the church to bring the change, to go and preach the gospel, make disciples with signs, wonders, and following in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're empowered. We don't lack anything. He won't give us a work to do and we can't do it. We can do what he's called us to do. Okay, so you've got that. Then look at 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. See, it's really just a thing of changing the way you see it. Okay, 1 Peter 2:24. It says, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Talking about Jesus on the cross. There's many other scriptures. We're not teaching on healing tonight. We've got a healing devotion at the back, healing series, healing teachings. Get that for more on this. But the bottom line is, by whose stripes ye were, past tense, healed, past tense. He's moved. Why are you sick? God's not withholding. God's not why aren't you healed? It's not God's fault. He's a loving father who wants you well more than you want to be well. Okay, and I've had things in my life, so I'm not condemning anyone and saying that I get it perfect every time, but what I am saying is that I'm confident in knowing it's not God. So I don't blame him, which means I've got a better relationship with him than someone who does blame God. God's not the one who gets offended if you're blaming him for sickness, but your heart is hardened towards him if you're blaming him for the sickness. How can you trust someone who put cancer on you or won't take it off of you? This makes it much easier. By whose stripes you were healed. God's moved. God's done it. He's good. So we're not trying to pray and faith doesn't move God. We just pause there for a moment. Prayer and faith does not move God. Prayer and faith moves us into receiving what God has already moved in. God has moved. We need to position ourselves to receive what he's already freely provided. That's grace. He's already freely provided. Now we need to receive what he's given. Okay? Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith." So God doesn't save anyone today. God isn't the one saving people today. He's already in Christ moved and saved men. Okay? So by grace you are saved through faith. Grace has already come to all men. Okay? Now I'm jumping around. Titus 2:11. "For the grace of God which leads men to repent, or leads us to repentance or to salvation has appeared to all men." Okay? "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Meaning, every single person on the face of the earth is confronted with God's grace and has it right here. Where's my bottle of water? God's grace is right here. It's yours. It's got your name on it. It belongs to you. Unbeliever, believer alike. His grace for everything and healing, deliverance, prosperity, wholeness, it's yours. How do you experience that? His grace is not withholding it from you. His grace has given it to you. It belongs to you already. But Ephesians 2 verse 8 gives us the answer. "For by grace you are saved through faith." Faith is looking at the grace of God and saying, "I'll have some." And then you partake. You're only a partaker by faith. Faith isn't trying to work it up. Faith is, "I'm fully persuaded. I know this is mine. I want it. Thank you, Jesus. I take it. It's mine and I enjoy it." See, so God's done his part. It's your part now. Just receive. Take hold of what's already freely yours. There's nothing else involved in it. It's pretty simple. Just enjoy what he's freely offering you. Amen? It's just a change of the way you see it. Now that's the bottom line there. So 2 Kings chapter... What chapter is this? Chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to go from verse 8. So I just want to show you that there's more going on than what you realize. And you need to start to see things the way God sees them and not see things the way you feel. See the things the way the world's going. See things from God's perspective. See yourself from God's perspective. You are not a weakling because Christ is in you. You do not lack anything because he's freely given you all things that pertain for life and godliness. Okay? So from 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 8, it says, "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.' And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that thou pass not such a place, for there the Syrians have come down.'" Okay, so, "And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned of him and saved himself there, not once nor twice." Okay, so more than that. "Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, 'Will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel?'" So what's happening is you've got Syria and the king of Syria against Israel and the king of Israel. Okay, and what you've got is... The God is showing the prophet the plans of the enemy, and he's feeding information to the king of Israel. He's saying, "The Syrians are going to be there, don't go there." So what does the king do of Israel? He attacks them. Yeah. So it's like he knew all the secrets of the enemy. Okay, and the king of Syria is all of a sudden like perplexed. He's like, "What's going on here? What's going on here? Who's against us here?" He's convinced that there's a traitor, a spy among them. Okay? That's why it says his heart was sore troubled in verse 11. In verse 12, one of his servants said, none of us are against you, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. So he's saying, the prophet in Israel is the one who's revealing the plans that you are just whispering in your bed, in your bedroom. Nobody's against you, but the secret things which you're talking about, the prophet knows them, God's showing them to him, and he's telling the king. Okay? Verse 13. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. I'd love to know kind of what kind of tone he said that in. And it was told to him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore, verse 14, sent he there horses and chariots and great hosts, and they came by night and surrounded the city about him. Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early, so Elijah's servant rose before Elijah, okay, and he went forth, and behold, he saw this host surrounding him with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, now the servant goes to Elijah and says, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? The enemy has surrounded us. Okay, now he sees there's this big problem. The enemy has surrounded us. What are we going to do? Verse 16, Elijah answers him and says, fear not. Now in that situation, what do you feel? If you're focused on what you're experiencing, if you're focused on what you're feeling, it'll be fear. If you're living in the carnal, soulish realm, if you're just basing everything on the five senses, what you can experience, and not on the spirit, you've got a problem. Then it goes on and it says, fear not, for them that are with us are more than they that are with them. That's the reality for us. In the spiritual realm, there's more going on than on the physical realm. You don't see things from God's perspective, that's why it's easy to fear. You don't see things from God's perspective, that's why you're looking at what's in your hands and you're going, I don't have enough. That's why you're not looking at things the way God's seeing them. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray that you would open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opens his eyes of the young man, and he saw him. Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So what that's showing? It's showing that, hey, there was really, in the spiritual, Elisha and his servant were at a better, at more of an advantage than the enemy, who had lots of horses and men, soldiers. So, you know, if you look at it from where we are now, I mean, if you're in Christ, you've got more than what anyone else has. You've got more than whatever you could lack. The abundant provision in Christ is far more than whatever lack you could ever have. And yet we focus on the physical lack or the emotional lack, and we don't focus on what we've got in the spirit. You need to focus on who you are in Christ, not who you are in the flesh. What you've got in the spirit, not what you don't got in the flesh. Okay? What you've got in the spirit is more than what you could ever have in the physical. Them that are with you are much more than those that are against you. 1 John 4 verse 4, the greater one lives in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You don't have anything to fear, and you're never without, you're never at a disadvantage, because God is with you. And as we've seen, 2 Peter 1 3, he's given you everything, not just some things, everything for life and for godliness. So you lack nothing. You lack nothing. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. You lack nothing because he's blessed you with everything. Okay, look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed, past tense, us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So this is saying it's past tense. It's not, you know, if you're asking God to bless you, you're contradicting scripture. Just think about that for a moment. God doesn't fall off of his throne if you're asking him to bless you, and if you're getting it wrong, so don't worry. You don't have to be perfect in understanding everything. But what I want you to see is that if you start praying in line with scripture, you'll get much more results. Things will be working out better for you. So you don't need to ask God to bless you, because it says that he has already blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Meaning, you don't lack anything. And yes, it's a spiritual blessing, but you're in Christ, those blessings are yours and you can experience them now. They're in your spirit man. You might not be experiencing them in your emotions or in your physical, but you can experience them if you start renewing your mind, transforming your way of thinking, and then you'll start to see the change in your life. You've got to make a withdrawal from the spirit into the physical realm. You know what many of us do? Part of the problem is that we're just so carnal, focused on the physical and emotional, focused on the emotional realm, that we don't see what's going on in the spiritual. And it distracts us from discovering who we are and making that withdrawal to see that provision. Okay? So we've got to learn to see what's happening in the spirit and then make that withdrawal. Okay? So we are blessed. We're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. He's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in our spirits. Okay? We looked at it a little bit this morning, but that's why it says in Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive, because God's already moved. The emphasis isn't on the ask, it's on the receive. All you need to do is receive. Okay? For everyone who asks receives, verse 8. Matthew 21:22. Let's look at that one. Matthew 21:22. Now the point is God's not stuck. He's moved. He wants you to experience provision and joy and peace and blessing more than you want to. And yet if we're going to God and we're, you know, I think it's a distraction of the enemy to get focused on what you don't have and then be like, God, please move in my life. God, please bless me. God, please. And you're focused on trying to get something from God. And yet you're standing there with everything that you've asked for. And it's like, well, what do you want me to do? God, you know, kind of like, what do you want me to do? If you look in what you've inside of you, what you've got, you've got what you need. I've given it to you. It's much easier to experience it when you realize you've got it than if you're trying to get it. You know, it's like the dog chasing its tail, round in circles. He just keeps running and keeps running and keeps running, and he's going to get that tail. He doesn't realize it's attached to him. He's already got it. And that's what many Christians are like. They're going around in circles, trying to get something that belongs to them already. Look at this. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. All things, not just some things. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. So how do you receive or see the manifestation? It's by believing. Faith. By grace through faith. Grace, God has already moved. Faith, believing, is what makes it makes you experience the provision of it. It makes you receive. It makes you enjoy. Okay, we'll look at another verse which has got more to explain on that in a moment. Where's that verse now? But I mean, you know, if you can change your way or your view on this, it'll really, really impact how you approach God, and then you'll start to see better results than you've ever seen. Because the problem isn't with God. The problem is often just we're seeing things wrong. The enemy's gotten us into a victim mentality instead of a victorious mentality. 1 John chapter 5. Let's look there. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 to 15. You might not see the results of what you're praying for straight away, but there's reasons for that. The reason is there's, sometimes there's hindrances. The enemy might be attacking. People might be involved in delaying your prayer. You know, you're praying for a loved one to be born again, to be saved. Yeah, that's a good thing. You want them saved, but you've got to realize God wants them saved more than you want them saved. And so God can't force them to be saved because you've prayed for it. He's moved. He's done what he can do to get them born again. Now what? What now what? They need to receive it. So they are the reason you're not seeing the manifestation of your prayer. Because they need to receive. So you're praying for them to receive. You're going and you're witnessing to them so they can receive. But as long as they don't receive, they can't. You're not going to have your prayer answered. Look at this verse. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So, the first thing is you've got to ask according to His will. How do you know His will? If it's in the Word. So, if you look in the Word, you'll see healing is always His will. Provision is always His will. Yeah, God never wants you to be grumpy. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Joy. I get grumpy sometimes, so don't worry. Fruit of the Spirit. I know you don't think that I do, but some of you know better. His will is that you experience joy unspeakable. Because that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's inside of you already. So you need to make a withdrawal from the Spirit so that we all want you to, and me, to experience that joy emotionally and in the carnal realm, right? You don't just want that joy trapped in your spirit. You know, some of you have got so much trapped up in your spirit, you need to let it out. Jesus is in you going, let me out, let me out. Come, I want to affect your whole being. I want to change your life. I want to reach people through you, but you're just concealing me. You know, you're just hiding me in your spirit. You know, if you just let him out, you'll see great things happen. Amen. Next verse. So if we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So it's like, if you're praying according to his will, which is his word, you know he's hearing you, which means you know you've got what you asked for. That's why Matthew 7:7 says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Verse 8 says, for everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. To everyone that knocks, the door will be opened unto them. In the Spirit, God moves straight away and you've got what you've asked for. You've already got what you've asked for. He's already moved, but you might not see the manifestation of it. Okay? For a number of reasons. One of the things is we're going to go, okay, in the name of Jesus, I just declare I'm healed. And you're like, ah, I still feel that pain. Didn't work this time. You aborted what you were trusting for. Or you came, you know, you what does it say? Believing you shall receive. Unbelieving you shall not receive. I just reversed it and made Shane's addition. Just in case you're wondering, that's not in the Bible, but the opposite is true. Believing you shall receive, unbelieving you shall not receive. You want to receive, then believe. When you doubt, you go without. So we need to be believing, and I mean, that's the point. You need to stand fast on your conviction of, I'm not being moved by what I see, the armies are against me, but I'm going to be moved by what God's Word says. And God's Word says, I'm healed, I'm provided for, I've got what I need, I'm full of joy, I'm holding on to that. And you stand firm on the word and you're like, I'm not moving until I see it manifest. In the name of Jesus, I will experience this in my emotions. In the name of Jesus, I will experience this in my body. It's mine. God has approved it. He signed it in his blood. It belongs to you. You need to take hold of it. It's like you've been given an inheritance. The person who's leaving you the inheritance has died. Now you've got all this amazing inheritance, but you're not enjoying it because you're not prepared to go and claim it. Claiming your inheritance in Christ is really just you saying, I know that what God says is true and I'm not moving off of it. It belongs to me. Okay? Another verse on that. Romans. Chapter 3, verse 4 says, Romans chapter 3. You know, so we mustn't just pray for something and then be like, ah, it didn't work, and then abort the seed of what God started. We need to have this kind of attitude where it says, let God be true and every man a liar. I mean, most of us would say, yeah, that's true. What God says is true, and if people counter that, then they're wrong and God's right. Amen? But what often happens is we're like, well, God says, I shall supply all your need according to my riches and glory. God says that. Yes, I believe that, but I didn't see it work this time. So it doesn't work all the time. No, it doesn't. It does work all the time. You're not working all the time. We are receivers by grace through faith. Receivers. Everyone say receivers. The awesome thing about being a receiver is you're not a manufacturer. He's produced it. It's yours. You just need to receive it. So it's not pressure on you to produce something. It's just to claim something. You're a receiver, not a producer. You're not a manufacturer. You just need to Boldly take hold of what He's freely given you. It belongs to you, so stop kind of looking at what you don't have and start declaring what you do have. Yeah. Let's go back to Philemon. The same verse. Chapter 6, or verse 6, should I say. Philemon chapter verse 6. That the communication of your faith may become effectual. We want our faith to work. How do we make it work? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You are full of good things because you're in Christ Jesus. You're full of healing. You're full of power. You're full of the love of God. You're full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You're full of Jesus. Whatever Jesus is, you're full of it. Okay? You're full of Jesus. How do you experience the manifestation of Jesus in your life? By the acknowledging of every good thing. Okay? Acknowledging isn't manufacturing. You are not a manufacturer, you are a receiver. How do you receive? You receive by acknowledging. Acknowledging is recognizing. I recognize that you are here today. Me recognizing that you're here isn't making you be here. I could say I recognize that this hall is full in the name of Jesus. I recognize that there's hundreds of people here in the name of Jesus. That's not going to make it happen. Because you recognize something that already exists. You acknowledge something that already exists. Amen? John, I recognize that you're married. He's not married. He's going to get married one day. It's free marketing here. Free marketing. Free marketing. But the point is like you acknowledge something that exists. Angelo, you too, don't worry. Lucas, there's a lot of potential here, ladies. Don't worry, I see you hiding, Henry. Anyway, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So, I feel sick. What do? I don't acknowledge the sickness. I don't acknowledge the pain. I don't acknowledge the suffering. I acknowledge what Jesus says, what's true in the Spirit. What's true in the Spirit? My spirit is full of healing. By His stripes I was healed. I were healed, so I am healed. So I go, thank you, Father. I acknowledge that I'm healed. I acknowledge that you've moved. I acknowledge that you've provided for me my healing. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Then you can speak to the pain or the discomfort or the problem and you say in the name of Jesus, you have to leave. Yeah. And what do you do if it didn't leave? You keep speaking to it. Maybe it's just not used to you giving it instructions. And you just need to, it needs to learn to listen to you a little bit. So you just keep speaking, you keep telling it. And then you start declaring, I know that this is gone, thank you, Father. Same thing with joy or anything. Provision, thank you, Father, you've provided for me. Not, many of us, we look at the little that we've got and we curse it. Jesus got five loaves and two fish given to Him. He's got a multitude. 5,000 men, excluding women and children. 5,000 men, excluding... So let's say there's 20,000 people there. And He's like, guys, you need to feed them. And they say, all we've got is five loaves and two fish. Jesus looks at it and curses it by going, this will never be enough. That's what you do. That's what we do. We look at the little and we curse it. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. So if you're experiencing death, it's because of your tongue more than likely. If you're not experiencing life, it's probably because of your tongue, because of what you're saying. So rather than look at the little and curse it, look at the little and bless it. Thank you, Father, that this will multiply. What did Jesus do? I give thanks for this. He blessed it, He broke it, it multiplied. That's what we should be doing. Not looking at the little and cursing it, not looking at the problem, and enforcing it by speaking life over the problem. We speak death to the problem and we speak life to what God's provided for us and releasing it by confessing that. Thank you, Jesus, that you've already given me joy. I feel down today, but I just declare I've got joy in my spirit. Thank you, Father, I've got the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If you just keep meditating on stuff like that, you won't be able to stay sad. You won't. You just focus on the goodness of God. You can't, no one will be able to make you sad or mad. Just focus on the goodness of God. Too many Christians, we're approaching God from this negative. where I don't have anything and I need to get something. That's why we pray silly prayers like, God, go with us as we leave this place after the service. I've never prayed that for you because I know God's going with you and He's going with me. The beauty of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He's with all of us. When you leave this place, He goes with you. That's why it's better. Jesus said it's better for the Holy Spirit to be with us than for Jesus to be here in the flesh. Because if Jesus was here, He'd be going home with me. Then you would be, you know, we wouldn't all be able to host Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is with us all the time and with everyone. You've already got Him. Yeah, God, please, just, I need to know Your love. Read your Bible. You'll see how much He loves you. You've got the Holy Spirit, what's it? Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It says, the love of God shed abroad in your heart through the Holy Spirit. Shed abroad means gush forth. So the Holy Spirit, if you just activate Him in your life, He will just blow open the gasket of love in your life, and you'll experience God's love in an awesome way. But even if you don't feel it, it doesn't matter because you've already got it. He loves you. Even if I'm feeling thirsty, there's no need for me to be thirsty because I've got Him. You just need to reflect on what you've got and receive it, enjoy it. Now, I remember years back, I went on a trip. I was for some training. I had just gone into full-time ministry, and I said to the Lord, well, the whole trip, I felt the presence of God. It was awesome. Physical presence of God. I believe you can experience that. Felt Him tangibly the whole trip. I was like, wow, this is awesome. I was ministering to people on the bus and on the plane and here and there and everywhere. I got home after the training, and I felt nothing. It was gone. Just like that. And I was sad. I was like, God, where are You? Well, maybe I shouldn't be in full-time ministry. But I'm basing my what I believe now on my feelings. Nobody here does that, but I was doing that at that time. And I was like, Lord, you know, I don't know where You are. Am I making a mistake? I probably shouldn't have quit my job. Maybe I should just keep traveling because I felt You while I was traveling. You know, like, God, what are you trying to say to me? Where are You? Why are You gone? And God, I had been listening to good teaching already, and I'd been in the truth, and God reminded me of some of that truth. He said, yeah, in My word, I said I'd never leave you nor forsake you. So you got a choice. You can either believe that I'll never leave you and believe that I'm always with you, or you can sit here and wait for a physical feeling, and then you can go. But then your experience is going to be up and down and up and down and up, because experiences don't last. But if you go with the Word, it always is there. It's a constant. And I mean, the truth is He's always with you even when you think He's not. God doesn't leave you because you make a mistake or because you didn't read your Bible this morning. He's with you. He's just waiting for some attention. That's all. You can acknowledge that He's with you. That's what, you know, you're not trying to get, that's what we do in worship. We're acknowledging He's here. We're not trying to get Him to come. He's here. You saying, come Holy Spirit, come Lord Jesus, it's irrelevant. He is here. Father, we thank You that You're here. He's here. He's with you when you go to bed, when you wake up, when you're doing things you shouldn't, when you're doing things you should, when you're going places you should, when you're going places you shouldn't. He's always with you. He's ready to help you. He doesn't go, whoa, you're going in there. I'm not going there. Sorry. I can't be seen with those guys. Sorry, God. No. He's with you. You need to recognize that you've got what you need and that He's with you all the time. Amen. You don't lack anything. Now let's finish off with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So, you know, like I said previously, we believe, God, You can do anything, but you haven't done anything. We've shown You. He's already given you everything you need for life and for godliness and blessed you with all spiritual blessings and everything. You're power packed, fully loaded, ready to go. We believe, hey, God, You can do anything, but I can't do anything. Most of us look at it like that. God, You can do anything. I can do nothing. Jesus said, John 15, verse 4, apart from Me, you can do nothing. You're not apart from Christ. If you are, we'll pray with you this evening and you'll get born again. then you're not without Christ ever. But the reality is, for the Christian, you're not without Christ. He's with you. You're one with Him. You can't separate you and Him. Okay? And so what does that mean? It means that, what was the previous verse we were on? There we go. So He can do anything exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God can do anything, but He can't do anything independent of you. Because the next verse says, according to the power at work within Him. Not that verse, sorry. The next part of that verse. You're very effective there. I'm just using the wrong words. There's Ephesians 3:20. According to. What does that mean? In proportion to. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. In proportion to the power that works in you. There's no power at work in you. Nothing. If you're allowing the power to work in you, you can see exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or even think. Some words, translations say imagine. There's no limits if you're letting the power of God work in your life. You need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to be praying in tongues. You need to be believing. That's everything it's including. Being in faith about His power that's in you and going, thank you, Father. You're acknowledging what you've got in the Spirit by speaking life and speaking it out so that it can manifest and overflow to the people around you. That's what it's talking about. If you're just going, sitting there, I'm waiting for God to do something. God, yeah, I dare you. Go for it. Yeah, this one's sick here. I want to see something. Go for it, God. Where are you, God? Come on. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Unless a believer lays their hands on the sick, they're not going to recover. Healing doesn't happen by accident. Salvation doesn't happen by accident. Provision doesn't happen by accident. It's all by grace through faith. God's provided for it. You need to receive it. And when you reach out, acknowledge what you've got in Christ, what He's freely given you, then you start to receive it. It's yours. You can enjoy it. Amen? The Christian life isn't a passive one. It's a restful one. A restful. What I mean with that is that you don't have to manufacture something. You don't have to work. The power is not yours. The power is in you. You're not manufacturing the power. You're releasing it. When you learn that you're a releaser, a receiver, a releaser, you're not a producer. It takes the pressure off of you. That's awesome. Okay? That's why on your worst day, you can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Because you, on your worst day, you are still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and everything that He says about you is still true, even if you don't see it. The reason you won't see it is because you don't believe it. But on your worst day, if you believe what God says about you, you can see the dead raised. Not because you've been living holy, but because the Holy One is living in you. You know, you just got to realize that you're a vessel. And He's working in you and through you. And you're just releasing it. You're just like, okay, God, I'm going to let you work here. What do I need to do? Lay hands. Okay. There you go. In the name of Jesus, whatever. And then it happens. It's awesome. Father, I thank You. And we're not striving in this life. We're just resting and receiving what You're freely giving us. Thank You that in our spirits we've got You, Jesus. We've got everything we need for life and for godliness. Where we see lack, we declare provision in the name of Jesus. Where we feel pain and see sickness, we declare perfect health in the name of Jesus. Where we see confusion or feel confused, we just speak soundness of mind. We declare wisdom of God in the name of Jesus. Where we see brokenness, we declare wholeness in the name of Jesus. Because the spiritual trumps the physical and the emotional. What You say about us in Your Word is more true than what we feel. We may feel like failures, but we're not failures because we're in Christ and there's no failure in Christ. We may feel like we're inadequate, but in Christ we're not inadequate. We're fully equipped and we've got everything we need. So we just declare that and we receive it in the name of Jesus. Pray for each person here, Father, that we would all begin to see ourselves more as you see us and less of how we feel, less of what we're experiencing, more of what you say, more of what you've done, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you're good, that you've only got good things in store for us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.